Amen. As you know, we're in that political season once again. Almost seems like we just got out and here we are back in. Early voting starts on Tuesday as we vote for primaries for those who will continue to represent us in office, including in the congressional district number 18. And as I was thinking about that, I was reminded of the 2016 Democratic National Convention, when former First Lady Michelle Obama first stated her now famous catchphrase, "When they go low, we go high." She was discussing how to handle bullies who were seeking to thwart Hillary Clinton's attempt to become first female president in the United States, and her motto quickly caught on. It was so powerful that even Hillary Clinton herself used it to defend herself against then Republican candidate Donald Trump during their final presidential debate. I want you to listen to what Michelle Obama had to say about that phrase. She told Oprah Winfrey, "Going low is easy, which is why people go to it." She said, "It's easy to go low. It's easy to lead by fear. It's easy to be divisive. It's easy to make people feel afraid. For me, what I learned from my husband, what I learned from 8 years in the White House, this life, this world, our responsibility in it is so much bigger than us. When I want to go low, it's all about my own ego. It's not about solving anything. It's about seeking to revenge or seeking revenge on the thing that happened to me." Michelle Obama added that her purpose in life isn't revolved around taking care of her own little ego, but instead to ensure that she is a positive role model for the next generation and is creating positive change. In 2018, she said to the New York Times that going high doesn't mean you won't feel the hurt or have emotions when faced with a challenge. It means that your response has to reflect the solution. It shouldn't come from a place of anger or vengefulness. Barack and I had to figure that out. Anger may feel good in the moment, but it's not going to move the ball forward. Now, my brothers and sisters, that was a powerful, powerful thought, powerful concept given by our former First Lady. But I have news for you today. That concept, that idea, should be present in the lives of those of us who say we are children of God. It's sad, and I have to confess that I have been part of this crowd of believers who felt the temptation to go low, announced my ability to go low, gave warnings about me going low. You know how we do it. Come on, I don't look like I'm the only one. You know, we'll tell folk now, even though we Christians, right, we'll let folk know, don't make me go there. There's a side of me you don't want to see. Don't start none. All right, I see you in the same place I've been. Don't make me go back to my BC days, right? Don't make me go back to my before Christ days. There's a side of me that I don't even like. See, when someone challenges you to go there, you have to decide, even if you can't control the challenge, you have to know that you have the power to decide how you will respond. And will you respond in a way, listen, that satisfies your flesh? Or will you respond in a way that glorifies God? Will you respond in a way that makes the person who came at you low feel low? Or will you respond in a way that will challenge them to rethink how they came at you and give them a model for doing better instead of being bitter? Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to go high when people go low. How to go high when people go low. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand here in the sanctuary. And for those of you who are watching wherever you are, download our church app, the Good Hope app, or go to our website, goodhope.org, and you can find a fill-in-the-blank outline there. Everyone has a desire to be respected. Everyone has a desire to be treated with an air of dignity. And everyone should want to live life according to God's instructions. But in our text today, we see a man who is challenged. He's challenged not by ones on the outside as much as he is being challenged by those who are close to him on the inside. His name is David. And in 2 Samuel chapter 6, we're going to continue our walk through this chapter. You remember in 2 Samuel chapter 5, David was anointed and appointed as the king of Israel. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, he makes a political decision that was also a spiritual decision to go to Abinadab's house and bring the Ark of God back to the capital of Israel, back to Jerusalem. You remember it was captured in battle when Hophni and Phinehas were killed at the Battle of Aphek. You remember when their father, the high priest Eli, heard about the death of his sons and the capturing of the ark. He fell back, dropped dead, and broke his neck and died. And the Bible says that the daughter-in-law, who was in labor, gave birth to a son, and in her dying breath, she named her son Ichabod. Ichabod, it means the glory has departed. And for years, the Ark of the Covenant stayed out of Israel's hands. David has now gone back to retrieve the Ark. He's bringing the Ark back, and he comes back. And he has to choose, y'all, how he is going to respond to the negativity that's around him and the negativity that's close up to him. Let me just share this with somebody today. Everybody is not going to be excited that you have changed your life to do God's will. Some of y'all are shocked. Some of y'all surprised. You saying, but Pastor, I had no idea. I didn't expect it. Don't be surprised. Everybody is not going to be excited about the moves and changes that you're making in your life. And sometimes those who are most affected, who you think would celebrate with you, will be the ones closest to you, but they'll turn out to be the ones who seem to be against you. It's almost like those who are close enough to get to you are going to be the ones that the enemy will use the most to try to challenge you. In our text today, there's a woman by the name of Michal. Michal is the daughter of Saul, and Michal is the wife of David. And the Bible says while all this celebrating is going on, with the ark coming back into Jerusalem, the Bible says Michal is observing. She is looking down from a window. And the text says, verse 16, when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. What would drive a wife to have contempt for her husband? What would drive a wife to challenge her husband to the point that she was disgusted with him? That's what the text says. Look at verse 20. When David returned home to bless his family, Michal came out to meet him and said in disgust, "How glorious the king of Israel looked today." Sarcastic. You know, some folk have the gift of sarcasm. My brothers and my sisters, David has to choose. How's he going to respond to this? Is he going to go low when his wife goes low? Or is he going to go high and stay where God wants him to be? Let me share with you three things today that I hope and pray will give you an idea on how you can focus on your blessings when you're attacked by somebody, especially somebody close to you. How do you go high and stay high when people around you are trying to make you go low? Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to focus on how the Lord is blessing your life. How the Lord is blessing your life. Look at verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. Verse 15, so David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. Verse 17, they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the special tent David had prepared for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. Let me focus on this first part. When you understand the history of David's movement of the ark, you'll understand why they were so celebrative when the ark came in. Remember, David went to retrieve the ark with 30,000 warriors. He went ready to fight, and he went and took a new cart to carry the ark. But because of the death of Uzzah, and because of what he perceived to be a curse on bringing the ark back, he left it at Obed-Edom's house. Come on, I got somebody in here that was with me. And after it was left at Obed-Edom's house for 90 days, the Bible says Obed-Edom and his entire household were blessed. David recognized that the problem was not in the ark, the problem was with him. Let me put a quarter in the meter and stop there for a minute. Because somebody under the sound of my voice, somebody who's listening today, stop blaming other folk for which you are the common denominator. So many times we want to blame people, we want to blame God, we want to blame family, and we don't look in the mirror. David had to look in the mirror and recognize that the problem was not the Philistines, the problem was not the ark, the problem was not God, the problem was him. He wanted God to honor his intentions when he didn't follow God's instructions. And my brothers and my sisters, the text says that David, after the 90 days at Obed-Edom's house, goes back. This time, he's going to follow instructions. Instead of putting the ark on a new cart, he's going to carry the ark. Instead of going with soldiers, he goes with Levites. Instead of wearing a warring outfit, he wears a worshiping outfit. He goes now to praise God instead of preparing to fight somebody else. And the text says they're making it back to Jerusalem. You remember that sermon I just preached, how to give God on the way worship. After 6 days, they stopped. Six steps they stopped. They had some 25,000 steps to go, but after six steps, they stopped and worshiped, and they were worshiping and praising God all the way to Jerusalem. Here's what's interesting. I believe God saw the best out of David because David thanked God for another chance. David messed up the first time. It cost them bringing back the ark, and it cost Uzzah his life. But David was praising and thanking God, not just for the ark coming, but for God giving him another chance. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice who, if you just stop and look back over your life, can see God having given you another chance. Some of y'all are quiet because you want to act like you've always been where you are. I understand. But for those of us who are not ashamed to admit, forget the second chance, blew through the second chance like it wasn't even there. I'm thinking about that infinity symbol in mathematics, you know what I mean? Forget the second chance, just over and over again. But God in his grace and God in his mercy. Somebody in here needs to rejoice because the presence of God's grace is in your life, because God has not just given you a chance, but he's given you a chance after chance. Somebody in here needs to get excited about getting another chance. Somebody in here needs to rejoice. David came dancing and rejoicing into Jerusalem, not just because of the presence of the ark, but because of the experience of God's grace. And watch this. When you're focusing on how good God has been to you, you don't have time to deal with and worry about petty people who have done nothing for you. Have you ever noticed that? That when you're focusing on petty people, that's when you're least focusing on what God has done in your life. When you're thinking about responding to them, you're not thinking about how good God has been. Here's the second thing. Number two, told you got to focus on how the Lord is blessing your life. But number two, you need to focus on blessing the Lord for his goodness in your life. If you're going to go high when people go low, you not only have to focus on how God has blessed you, you got to focus on how you need to bless God, how you need to worship the Lord. The Bible says David danced. He didn't just dance. He danced. Look at verse 14, before the Lord. Verse 15, David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. David sacrificed, verse 17, burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. He came in a spirit of worship to bless God. He wasn't even worried about what anybody else was saying. So many times, the first step of the enemy to distract you is to get a response. Sometimes the greatest thing you can do for your own peace and your own sanity is ignore what somebody's trying to do to get you off track. Yeah, now, hopefully you're not sitting next to the person that does it, but, it's important, because people will make their priority and try to take their priority and make it your emergency. They want to make their problem your problem and then force you to give them a solution to their problem, even though they don't want to change their behavior that caused the problem in the first place. David says, I'm not even focused on that. All I'm focused on is God. He says, I am going to bless God. He danced to the Lord. He offered sacrifice to the Lord. They shouted with joy and blew ram's horns in the honor of God. My brothers and sisters, how do you bless God today? I want you to look at John chapter 4, and I want to read verses 23 and 24 to you. I don't have a whole lot of time, but let me just share this as we do a drive-by in this topical expositional message. Verse 23, the New Living Translation says, but the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, Here's the mistake that too many of us have made. We see worship as an event instead of a lifestyle. We see worship as something that we do when coming to church is a destination. Instead of recognizing that worship is the life that we live, when we recognize that the building and the campus are not to be our destination, but they are our deployment center. That we are to be more in the world. Shame on us if we are a better Christian 2 hours a week on our way to church and on our way back home and the time we're at church, then we are the other 160 plus hours a week that we're living in the world that we live in. John says we ought to worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit speaks to intensity and speaks to our attitude. What is our attitude? Are we always trying to honor God in how we live and how we move? I met with the staff not long ago, and I shared with them. I said, you know, I said, I'm considered a little different and a little strange, and I accept that. I said, but one of the things that you need to know about me is I'm actually a Christian. And I actually try to live according to the Bible. Like, I'm not saying I don't mess up. I'm not saying I won't do some things wrong. But when I do wrong, you know what I do? I repent. Like, I'm trying to be right with God, y'all. I'm trying to live right. And the truth of the matter is, some of us who say we're Christians, we're not even trying to live any better. He says, you got to worship God in spirit, in intensity and attitude. But then the next thing he says, you got to worship God. He's looking for those who will worship him in truth. Integrity. That's evidenced by our actions. Because talk is cheap. That poet laureate from the 50s, 60s and 70s and beyond, James Brown, said, talking loud and saying nothing. A lot of us know folk, hopefully it's not the person you look at in the mirror every day, who talk it more than they walk it. And David shows us that worship needs to be both in spirit and in truth, both in intensity and integrity, both with our attitude and our actions. And you can't focus on worshiping God when you're focusing on what other people are saying. You can't focus on giving God the glory in your life when you're worrying about what other people think all the time. Matter of fact, let me just say this for somebody as I pass through. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you are so busy worrying about worrying about what other people think that you don't worry about what God says. And so you're trying to please people more than you're trying to please God. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you need to focus on blessing others to the glory of God. I told you first, you need to focus on how the Lord is blessing your life. Number two, you need to focus on blessing the Lord for his goodness in your life. But number three, you need to focus on blessing others to the glory of God. Watch what David does, verse 18. When he had finished his sacrifices, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. Then he gave to every Israelite man and woman in the crowd a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people returned to their homes. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He prayed for the people. He blessed them. And after blessing them, he blessed them in a tangible way. He blesses them spiritually and he blesses them physically. Now, I want you to notice something. When he's blessing them, He doesn't have time, energy, or strength, and he's not giving attention to what somebody else is doing. He's not concerned about what somebody else is saying. Matter of fact, let's go back to Michael, who is disgusted at her husband, who has some contempt, the word says, towards her husband. Why was she up in the window looking down in the first place? Like, why wasn't she down there supporting her husband? Why wasn't she down there worshiping with everybody else? I'm going to talk about that next week in case you're wondering. Because I think her time in the window reflects something that was wrong in her heart that kept her in the window and kept her from worshiping. Because she was looking at herself instead of looking at God. She was not grateful for what she had. She was angry at what she had lost. Text says that David blessed. That's the most frequent word in the Old Testament. When it's applied to God, it has this sense of praise when we bless the Lord. But when we bless others, it creates a state of spiritual joy and or happiness. David gave the people provisions and reminded them that their blessings came from the Lord. Look at Acts 20, verse 35. Let's read it together. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How many people have you blessed by your presence and your possessions? How many people have been blessed? You may not be able to record the names or the numbers, but heaven knows. How many people have been blessed? How many people are better because of your presence? I celebrate almost every Sunday what happens in the food pantry. And the reason I do that is because I want you to know that you have an opportunity to make a difference, and you have an opportunity to bless just by your presence. And can I tell you something? When you're doing great work for God and you're blessing people, it's hard to focus on yourself, and it's hard to focus on negativity around you. Some of y'all trying to figure out, how can I get out of this space? How can I get out of this cycle? How can I get out of this rut? And maybe the path to getting out of this place of negativity is learning how to move from where you are and become positive in somebody else's life. I was thinking just the other day that we need to move and figure out how to bless God and bless people. Bless God vertically and bless people horizontally. How do we learn how to do that? Knowing that when we are a blessing, we are glorifying God and we are edifying other people. And let me go one step further. I think we're adding to somebody's crown in glory. I was thinking, when I started preaching in little coal mining camps in the Fairmont, West Virginia area, nobody really had a church full of people. You just wanted a full-time church. Now, somebody said, what's a full-time church? Deacon Martin, full-time church was a church that met every Sunday. Because most churches were first and third Sunday churches or second and fourth Sunday churches. Some of y'all from the country, you know what I'm talking about. And you had circuit preachers, right? So if you were a full-time pastor, oh my God, you had it going on. And I can remember one church in particular. It was church number 8, Welcome Baptist Church. They called them by the number of the coal mine that the church community was in. And I remember them asking me to come and preach, and I told them I couldn't, and they said, well, hold on, we'll call you back. And they called all the members to change the time of morning service. in 2 minutes. They called all the members to change the time of service because I was already preaching somewhere else at 11. And they said, can you come at 1 o'clock? And I remember preaching. And I remember when I got through preaching, they handed me a little envelope. And they said, Rev said, we can't pay you for preaching, but we want to help you take the gospel a little bit further. And here's what I was thinking the other day. Every time I take the gospel a little bit further, I wonder if an angel shows up with something else to put in their crown. And they say, what's this? I say, oh, you remember that boy? Y'all told him you was going to help him take the gospel a little bit further. He's still taking it further. Right? He's still taking it further. I'm asking you, what kingdom significance and difference are you making? See, John 13, 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And I just want to leave you with this third thought. Worship will strengthen you. Focus will help you go high when somebody tries to make you go low. When you focus on you and somebody comes against you, your pride will kick in. And you will respond out of self and who you are. You will prove or try to prove that you are right, even though being right was not your goal or objective. When you focus on blessing others, you don't have time to respond to the pettiness of petty people. So let me just close by telling you this. When people go low, don't go with them. When they criticize, you can still celebrate. When they complain, you can still praise. When they want to hurt you, you can still lift your hands and give God glory. David stayed high, not because everyone approved. David stayed high because he stayed focused. He focused on how God had blessed him. He focused on how he could bless God. He focused on how he could bless others. And when you keep your focus right, your spirit can stay right. You can't control their mood, but you can control your mind. You can't keep people from going low, but you can keep yourself from going down to their level. Because when you focus on how God has been good to you, you don't have time to go low. When you focus on blessing God, you won't be bothered by people. When you focus on blessing others, you'll rise above pettiness and step into purpose. Let them talk. Let them roll their eyes. Let them misunderstand your praise. But keep dancing. Keep thanking. Keep giving. And keep serving. Go high when people go low. Go high when people criticize you. Go high when they question your character. Go high when they misunderstand your motives. Go high when they mock your worship. Go high when they minimize what God is doing in your life. Go high when they overlook your obedience. Go high when they resent the favor of God showing up in your life. Go high when they attack your integrity. Go high when they gossip about your growth. Go high when they try to pull you into petty arguments. Go high when they respond with bitterness. Go high when they choose division over devotion. Go high when they are silent on you. Go high when they celebrate what they perceive to be your failures. Go high when they refuse to celebrate your favor. See, going low is easy. Going low is natural. Going low is common. But going high is spiritual, y'all. Going high is intentional. Going high is kingdom. So I want to encourage somebody today, stay high when others go low. Stay stay high in compassion, stay high in discipline, stay high in your encouragement, stay high in your endurance, stay high in your expectations, stay high in your faith, stay high when you forgive, stay high when you're generous, stay high in your gratitude, stay high in your hope, stay high in your humility, stay high in your integrity, stay high in your joy. Stay high in your love. Stay high in your obedience. Stay high in your patience. Stay high in your peace. Stay high in prayer. Stay high in praise. Stay high in purpose. Stay high in self-control. Stay high in your service. Stay high in your truth. Stay high in worship. When they try to do you harm, go high. When others hate on your praise, go high. When problems come your way, go high, y'all. When people try to rob you of your joy, go high. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you went low on Friday. Go to work tomorrow and go high. Go high. Go high. Maybe you might need to go and apologize to the person you went low on and say, you know what, I apologize to you. I apologize to you because I shouldn't have gone where I went. I'm going to go high. I'm going to show you a better way. And my brothers and sisters, when I think about God and I think about how good God has been in my life, I'm getting to a point, y'all. I'm not sure if it's my age. I'm not sure what it is, just my experience. But I'm just getting to the point now that I'm refusing to give people the power to push any buttons in my life. Their anger, their frustration, which is sometimes internal, it's not even about me, it's about them, that's expressed towards me, doesn't necessitate or require my response. When they go low, I'm going high. And in the power of God, I'm going to do my best to stay high. And all of God's people said amen. Father, we bless you today for your word. I pray, God, that somebody under the sound of my voice who may be struggling with somebody who's far off or somebody who's close to them, they've been challenged. And God, it's amazing how the enemy will work, because sometimes we'll be challenged. And when we respond in a less than spiritual way, some folk will have the unmitigated gall to say, well, I thought you were a Christian. And it's almost as if they have come to test how much of a Christian we really are. God, I pray right now that you would give all under the sound of my voice the power to go high and stay high when we're tempted to go low. When those who come against us invite us to be our worst, help us, Lord, to live in a way to challenge them to be their best. And help us to show them how they can be their best by modeling what we are showing them. Because God, we can't win them if we go down to their level. We've got to challenge them to step up from where they are to where you want them to be. Encourage somebody today, God.